Good morning. Can you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? That's the one passage that we'll be looking at to read. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. They're the two passages that Brother Larry has selected. Romans 12, 1 to 3, and 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Both of these passages talk about our nonconformity to the world or our separation from the world. And there's an interesting link between this topic and, I would say, our focus of this time of the year on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, as we've learned this morning, is rooted in our belief of God as our creator and our sustainer. And it's our response to his love and care. And you can look at nonconformity, it's a form of thanks that we give back to God, telling him that we want to be identified with that which is godly and thanking him for the godly way of life that he has made available to us. On the contrary, conformity to the world is thanking the world and thanking the fashion designers of the world and thanking the world for the ungodliness that they have made available to us. And so our identity really shows us who we are thanking. So let's begin in Romans chapter 12, where we present our bodies to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And the thought here again is our separation from the things of this world because they are against God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray.
Good morning. It is good to see each one of you here this morning. Some visitors in our audience, some who are not here regularly for distance reasons. We just praise God that you can be here this morning. I want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the prayers that have been offered already on our behalf. And ask that you would continue to pray. I have in my Bible a list of distinct scriptural doctrines given to me by Brother Charles Lehigh, whose desire is to see these doctrines taught and practiced as part of our daily lives and our testimony. And my goal is, over a period of time, and I don't know how long that'll be, Lord willing, to speak on each of them. Brother Harold Martin's book, New Testament Beliefs and Practices, in the preface, Brother Jim Meyer writes this, that the real importance of these doctrines lie not in their being brethren, but in their being biblical. And I want you to take it that way this morning. Pray that you will accept it as something that God laid on my heart, a message that has been on my mind for some time. And I can assure you this morning, that during preparation for this message, no one in particular had come to my mind. But it's my desire to speak truth. I feel like that's what I've been called to do. And we want to look at a message titled Culture, Religion, or Lifestyle. I want to take a closer look at these three words this morning. First of all, culture is defined as the customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or a social group. Religion is a personal set or an institutionalized system of religious beliefs, attitudes, or practices. Lifestyle, according to the dictionary that I have, was simply defined as a way of living. Your life as a believer, as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, your life and mine as Christians, what is it for us? Are we following a culture? Are we following a religion? Are we living a lifestyle? Or could it be all them? I appreciated very much the thoughts that were shared in the opening by Brother Paul. Certainly, nonconformity, and that's, you may well have guessed that this message is about the Bible doctrine of nonconformity. How it goes go hand in hand with the season of the year, being thankful. How thankful are we to our Lord for what He has done for us? I think it shows, and I hope you will agree as we move through the message this morning, our thankfulness and gratitude to God comes out in the way we live. The belief in and the practice of and the word nonconformity, I believe, is clearly brought out in this second verse of Romans chapter 12, which was read in our hearing. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To conform to something means that you're okay with it. You're in agreement with it. You're in harmony with it, and you pattern your life after it. To not be conformed, as this verse is telling us, is saying that we're not okay with it. We're not to be conformed. We're not in agreement with it. It's something we're not in harmony with, and we do not pattern our lives after this world system, its ways, its fashions, or its lifestyle. Again, as was read in our hearing in the opening, in 2 Corinthians 6, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and be your, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In these verses again, we are called to separate ourselves as God's people from the ways of the world around us. And I'm amazed, the older I get, at the degradation we see all around us in this world. The boldness of evil people, and yes, there are evil people in this world. The fact is that lost people will act like lost people. The saved people should not act like lost people. Isaiah 52:11, the old prophet says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, and be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. And again, God's word tells us here that we should be separate. There should be a clear separation of the two, this world system, and as we are part of the kingdom of Christ. And before we go too far, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea that you might be thinking that I think that we cannot enjoy anything here in this world. I think that thought is wrong, and I think it is completely unscriptural. We are, I believe, to enjoy the goodness, the bountifulness, and the blessings of God. We've just gone through Thanksgiving this past week, and I was blessed to be here Wednesday and hear some of the testimonies that were offered. Testimonies of healing of our bodies, testimonies of healing our souls and our desires. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We can be thankful that we can enjoy the good things that God gives us, and we can be thankful that there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning with our Lord. He is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can count on that. 1 Peter 3:10 says that he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We can, I believe, and should love life and enjoy the good things that our Lord has dealt to us and be ready and willing to share them with others, and especially those of the household of faith. There may be some that say, as Christians, we can't enjoy this life. And possibly those that might even make rules to that extent. But I believe that goes beyond the teachings of Scripture. It falls, I believe, within the dangers of adding to and taking from God's Word. With anything in life, the old saying is, you can do it and you can overdo it. And many times things get way overdone. But the fact is, in these verses that were read in Romans here, we are called to be set apart. In verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That is, that we are to dedicate our bodies, ourselves, our lives, as instruments in the service of our Lord, wholly given over to Him to be used for His glory. That might call some to the mission field. It might call some to the barn, to the fields of crops, to the cabinet shop, to the construction place, to teach school or preach the gospel, and the list could go on and on. But this thought of presenting ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, I think, takes in every aspect of our lives. How we make a living, how we earn our money, how we spend our money that we've earned, how we give to meet the needs of others, our conversation to everybody, how we are known in the neighborhood, how we treat our neighbors, how we are known in the community, the kind of house we live in, the type of vehicle we drive, how we keep our properties, how we present ourselves when we're in a public setting, the kind of clothes we wear, the kind of shoes we wear, how we spend our time. What are our priorities? You see, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, takes in every aspect of our lives. How do we get to the point that is acceptable unto God? I think we need to answer some of the questions as to, why do we do what we do? Why do we want what we want? Why do we drive the vehicle we drive? And so on. That list could go too. But I believe these verses here this morning are telling us that we cannot be led by the whims, fads, and fashions of this world. You and I both know that they keep changing. And the reason is because they do not bring lasting peace or satisfaction or happiness. With all that's available today in the world around us, the pull is strong, pulling in many different directions. So I would say we can't even think that we can handle beating it on our own. We will lose. We need to consistently seek the help of our Lord through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a moment-by-moment basis. When we resolve to do that, when we purpose in our hearts to depend on the Spirit's guidance and not lean on our own understanding, we then, I believe, are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I thank God for that process in my own life, and I would stand here to admit to you that I have a long way to go. I'll admit, there are many areas that the Lord has spoken to me and continues to speak. One is, I used to listen to a lot of country music. That's probably one of the disadvantages of tractors with cabs on them. Most of them have radios in. Pretty easy to switch it on. But the Lord spoke to me on that issue, and I got to the point where, you know, this stuff's really kind of ridiculous. There's no wholesomeness to it. There's no point to it. What's it all about? Someone has said, if you play country music backwards, you get your wife back, you get your dog back, and you get your pickup truck back. I'm not sure how that is. But it does kind of remind me of a story that was told, probably isn't true. In fact, I'm sure it isn't. I believe it makes a point. An elderly couple who was in the sawmill business in the South said they sold chainsaws. They sold enough chainsaws one year to get a free trip to Germany where the saws were made. So not used to traveling, they went to the airport and boarded the plane and stored his hands on a set of headphones, for which they asked, what are these for? She said, you put them on and listen, and it will give you a basic course in German. So when you arrive in Germany, you'll be able to say hello, please, thank you, and you may even be able to order food at a restaurant. So they listened intently throughout the flight. When they arrived in Germany, they met up with those they were to contact there. They went over to them and started to talk. Simply, shh. They'd been listening to static all night on their headphones. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of us today. We listen to a lot of static. Nothing wholesome. Nothing productive. Nothing real in it. Our God wants our minds to be transformed. In Exodus 34:14, He says, for thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. You might think that's an Old Testament passage. Here's one from the New. 2 Corinthians 11:2, he says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's the Apostle Paul being jealous over the Corinthians. But he said it is with a godly jealousy. We are, as God's children, the bride of Christ. Verse 3 there says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, the Lord wants us to have a transformed mind. Jesus himself gives us the call in Mark 12:29-30. He says, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You might be thinking, well, do you think you have all this mastered? I'm going to tell you the answer is no. It's a daily battle for me, and I know it is for each one of you. But I know that's where I want to be. Where I need to be. And I feel like I can say that's where you want to be and where you know you need to be too. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, as his disciples, that should be our goal. And I think if it is our goal, a lot of this other stuff we have around us isn't going to attach itself to us. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But, he says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is his outlook, his motives, his manner of life, his aims, his ideals. Everything is different. I think it was Brother Jeff in a recent message said that we think with a different logic. We live a different lifestyle, and we follow a different leader. As I mentioned before, it carries into every aspect of our lives as Christians. As far as clothing goes, the New Testament does not give a certain cut, color, or material that needs to be worn. Christians today in America do not necessarily need to wear the same style of clothing that was worn by the Jews in Jesus' day. But I'm going to quote this from J.C. Wenger's book, Separated Unto God, and he says this: there is a sense in which the New Testament does not tell Christians so much as how to dress as how they should not dress. Christians are not to wear clothing for vain display or anything which is immodest or extravagant. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, the first 5 verses. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that of outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Also in 1 Timothy 2:9, the scripture tells us this: in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. And I'll mention jewelry at this point. The fact is, the word jewelry refers to any object, material object, that is worn on the body for decorative purposes, whether it's worn as a status symbol or of wealth. It includes engagement rings, wedding rings, any ring for any kind of purpose, bracelets, necklaces, nose rings, lip rings, wristbands, ankle bracelets, earrings, and the list could go on and on. It doesn't matter if they're made from diamonds or gold or silver, metal, stone, or even bone. It even includes painted fingernails and painted toenails. Anything worn for the purpose of showing and decorating the body is classified as jewelry, and it is spoken against in Scripture. Then there are tattoos. Today, a popular thing is to get ink. Leviticus 19:28 says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Back in chapter 10 of Leviticus, in verse 10, he says that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. There are many that say, what does it hurt? What does it matter if I want to wear these things? I'm not hurting anybody. What is it to you? Why does it bother you? 1 Timothy 5:6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And I think we could go with he there too. He that liveth in pleasure is dead while he liveth. And I just share with you, a lot of these thoughts aren't new or aren't original, if anyone here might be thinking them this morning. I've gone through many of these phases myself. Satan has been using these ploys for years. And I just ask you, take it from some of us who are going down. Some wrong roads. Can I say this morning it shows where the heart's at? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It shows where the mind's at. And I can assure you again that I'm not pointing my finger at any one individual here this morning. No one in particular had even come to mind. That's for the Holy Spirit to do. I simply want to speak the truth in love and bring our attention to what the Lord God inspired the writers of Scripture to pen for us to read and to live by. Because it's this word that'll judge each one of us. I will not. That's not my job. My responsibility is to speak truth in love. And one of the things I pray for often, is that the Lord will give me a sincere love for His people. Because the Scripture tells us, without that love, I am nothing. The truest adornment for the believer is that of an inner beauty of character. The Phillips translation of 1 Peter 3, 4 describes the inner beauty of a godly woman as the unfading loveliness of a calm and a gentle spirit, a thing very precious in the eyes of God. But clearly, I believe to not feel a need for those things that the world around us has to offer takes a renewing of the mind. It takes a renewal of the heart. And to renew both, we need to be into God's Word on a daily basis. And I would challenge each one of us this morning to get into God's Word on a daily basis, every day. Don't miss a day. Some of our older brethren here have stressed the need for daily devotion through the years. And I thought already, why don't they just get over it? I say that to my shame. My prayer is now that we will never get over it, that we will keep stressing it. Serious Bible reading and prayer daily is the lifeblood of the Christian faith. These are the words of life. They give life. They breathe life. They are life. They're what we need in life. Like I say, when we do get into the Word every day, we will have a transformed mind and renew our minds. And again, I say you're looking at one who is still going through an ongoing process of transformation. And I pray to God that it continues. Another area I think we need to be so careful in is what we watch with our eyes. How about our home videos, DVDs, computers, Facebook? YouTube clips. All the other avenues of social media. We have so much available to us today that it wasn't available just a few years ago. It boggles my mind. Psalm 101:3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Another scripture tells us to redeem our time. The eye is the gate of the mind. And what we watch has a tremendous influence on how we live and how we think. And I wonder, do we need to do some house cleaning in these areas? Psalm 101:2 says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." When I was growing up as a young boy, I wasn't necessarily paying attention to a lot of things. And I don't hardly remember any man wearing shorts on a hot summer day. Very few, if any. But it seems like today that's completely flipped. There's hardly a man out there on a hot summer day now that doesn't wear shorts. Older men are just as immodest as younger. We see it all around us. And we so often get the idea that we don't care what others think, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And I'd like to share with you that's a defiant and a very dangerous attitude, certainly not the mind of Christ or that of a spiritually renewed mind. Listen to the warning Isaiah gives in Isaiah 47, verses 8, 10, and 11. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. I believe there are words given to those that live with the attitude, I'm going to do what I want no matter what. The fact is that, as already mentioned by Brother Paul in the opening, we are allowing either God's word to dictate what we do, what we say, and what we wear, or we are allowing this world system to dictate what we do, what we say, and what we wear. It is one or the other. There's no in between. There's really no such thing as a worldly Christian. And I think it's extremely important how we present ourselves in public when we claim to be a child of God. The Apostle John wrote what Jesus told him to write in Revelation to the churches there. And here's part of what he wrote in Revelation 3, verses 14 to 17. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Right after these words of warning and harsh rebuke to the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, the Lord himself sends out a plea to them in verses 18 and 19, and he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Listen to what he says in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He says, be zealous therefore, and repent. Then in verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You see, he is doing his part. The rest is up to us. If any man hear my voice, in order to hear something, I think we need to listen. And I'm finding the older I get, the duller my hearing becomes, the harder I need to listen. So to hear his voice, we need to listen, and listen intently. Then he tells us, not only do we have to listen, but we need to open the door. And that's a move I think that each individual must make on our own, by ourselves, for ourselves. That move shows that there is a transformation taking place, that there is a renewing of the mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then in the 20th verse, he makes a promise. And we know that our God is a promise keeper. He says, there I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a relationship that brings us together with our Lord. That's a relationship that brings a peace that passeth all understanding. That's a relationship that the world knows nothing about. And it's also a relationship that the things of this world cannot and will never bring. You see, I think the Lord knows. In fact, I know the Lord knows that we're going to have struggles with temptations. We have weaknesses. We have areas in our lives that need change. And he said in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To be an overcomer, I believe, takes perseverance. It takes purpose of heart. It takes a transformation by the renewing of our minds. And the promise of our Lord is that I will grant to you to sit with me in my throne. So I believe the answer to the question in the beginning is D, all the above. As Christians, we don't live by the culture of this world, but we have our own culture, our own beliefs that guide our social activities and our material traits. It's also our religion, which again takes in our beliefs and our attitudes and our practices. And it is simply our lifestyle, the way we live. It is separate, and it needs to be separate from the world around us. They have to see a difference in all these areas. And no, it's not a dull, backwoods, drab way of living. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man." You see, when we tend to become like the world, we are losing our savor, and we are not the kind of salt that the Lord wants us to be. And again, I realize that this is not a Thanksgiving message, but the fact is, the way we live for our Lord shows how grateful we are for what He has done for each one of us. The Christian life is an active life. It's a busy life. To be lived in uprightness and honesty before the Lord, it is a life that brings joy, happiness, peace, to the point that we are noticed. Verses 14 and 15 in Matthew say, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Lights are noticed. Ye are the light of the world. Don't hide that light. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't put it under the fads and fashions and the whims of this world. It won't shine out. But let it give light to all that are in the house, all that are in the church, all that are in the neighborhood, and all that are in the community, and ultimately the world. Verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." I pray that God will bless each one of us as we search our hearts, change our ways, and renew our minds, and bring glory to His name.
First of all, this morning, I want to thank you as a congregation for birthday cards you have sent me, as well as Thanksgiving cards. It touches our hearts if you younger people even think of us as old folks and remember us. And I praise and thank you for that. I want to praise our brother this morning for his faithfulness in sharing God's word and his humble attitude that he has a concern for our souls. And I hope we felt that this morning. He didn't preach a sermon to condemn us. He preached a sermon to challenge us to walk with close to the Lord and be faithful to Him. Would you open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16? 1 Chronicles chapter 16. There's a verse here I'd like you to underline, and I'd suggest that you would put it somewhere where you see it every day. 1 Chronicles 16:11. It says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." I feel that verse fits in with what our brother was speaking about this morning. Seek the Lord. In other words, be Christ-like. Don't follow the passions of the world. And His strength. The only power we have to be faithful, it's through the Holy Spirit and God's Word. It's available to us. And then the last part is seek His face continually. Seek His approval. His approval as God's child. There's a lot of things we could talk about this morning. I remember, and I'd like to share this challenge to our young men, especially to be godly leaders. Twice in our marriage, we were offered a television given to us, but we would not accept it because we didn't feel it would draw us close to the Lord. Another thing I think is damning a lot of families today is cell phones. And I say this lovingly, but it's a helpful tool, but it's something that hinders a lot of marriages and a lot of homes. Many times you go into a restaurant, everyone around the table's speaking on the telephone, playing a game. No conversation between the family. God pity us. Men, let's take a stand for Him. About 2 weeks ago, I had trouble with my knee. I went into a medical place. I had to wait about an hour. There was a father and a mother in there with a daughter about 10 years old. The daughter had her arm in a sling. I don't know what happened to her. But as she waited there, she looked like she was in tears almost the whole time. Mother and daddy were both playing with a cell phone. I feel many times as parents, we were missing opportunities to show our families how much God loves us and how He wants us to serve Him. And I appreciated our brother this morning. He was so willing to share this with us. We need it. I need it. It seemed like even the older people today are falling by the wayside, ashamed to take a stand for God. God pity us. And I just plead with you again to get this verse before you daily. Seek the Lord and His strength and seek His face daily. Let us pray.